From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, concludes a message entitled The Trial and Triumph of Faith, the eighth in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The text is verses 13 through 16, verses which apply particularly to Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom God had given promises of land, descendants, and ultimately of Christ. Although they did not see the fulfillment of those promises during their lifetime, yet they lived in the light of what God had promised. They knew that God could not fail, so their vision was upon the heavenly country rather than upon this world and its allurements. They resisted the temptation to turn back to the land from which they had come. And not only did they live by faith, but they died in faith. Their belief in the gospel enabled them to die with the sight of Christ. Finally, we see that those saints who died in faith found that God fully vindicated their faith. The Lord confirmed His promise to be their God, and He brought them to that eternal city which He had built for them. Their faith was not disappointed. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Acts chapter 13 and verse 39. All that believe are justified. The believer in Christ receives a present justification. Faith does not produce this fruit by and by, but now. So far as justification is the result of faith, it is given to the soul in the moment when it closes with Christ and accepts Him as its all in all. Are they who stand before the throne of God justified now? So are we, as truly and as clearly justified as they who walk in white and sing melodious praises to celestial harps. The thief upon the cross was justified the moment that he turned the eye of faith to Jesus. And Paul the aged, after years of service, was not more justified than was the thief with no service at all. We are today accepted in the Beloved, today absolved from sin, today acquitted at the bar of God. O soul-transporting thought! There are some clusters of Eshkol's vine which we shall not be able to gather till we enter heaven. But this is a bough which runneth over the wall. This is not as the corn of the land which we can never eat till we cross Jordan. But this is part of the manna in the wilderness, a portion of our daily nutriment with which God supplies us in our journeying to and fro. We are now, even now, pardoned. Even now are our sins put away. Even now we stand in the sight of God accepted, as though we had never been guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is not a sin in the book of God, even now, against one of His people. Who dareth to lay anything to their charge? There is neither speck, nor spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing remaining upon any one believer in the matter of justification in the sight of the Judge of all the earth. Let present privilege awaken us to present duty. And now, while life lasts, let us spend and be spent for our sweet Lord Jesus.
Sands of the wave-beaten shore. For mercy
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
So they lived in the light of God's promises. They lived in the light of their great prospects. And then they died believing the gospel that had sustained them all through life. They died in faith. Literally it means, according to faith, these all died. They died in faith. Man, that is a better epitaph than all the eulogies of the world. You may have a full page obituary in the New York Times and perish in a lost eternity, but let God just write over you, this man died in faith. And it will be well with your soul. They died in faith. I like that because they died in the light. To the world, death is all darkness. I always like the words of the psalmist in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is such a valley in Israel that always has been and still is to this day a horrific place to travel through. But I think that David was speaking also of his own death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no valley of death for the believer. It's just the valley of the shadow. And you can't have a shadow without a light. There's a light in the valley of death now for me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will not stop shining just because we come to death. Christians die in the light. For the rest of the world, whatever light they thought they had is going out, and they're going out into the blackness of darkness forever. But death for the Christian is a coming out of the shadow into the full glory of the light of God. They die in the light. Not only so, but when they die according to faith, they died with a sight of Christ. Think of that. They died with a sight of Christ. Maybe I'm going overboard here, but I think that if not in every case, certainly in most cases, when Christians die, the Lord gives them a clearer sight of Christ than they've ever had before. We have all stood at the bedside of people in a deep coma. I wonder what goes on there. But I personally wouldn't be at all surprised that in the depths of what appears to us as unconsciousness, the Lord shows himself to his people as he brings them home. Certainly there are amazing cases that happen too often for it to be a mere coincidence or something that can be explained away. But again and again and again we have cases of Christians dying, and sometimes in great agony. Sometimes totally against the run of what they have been experiencing. Just before they go out into eternity, there is a sense of the presence of God, of his Christ. There is a sight they have where they constantly affirm, I see Jesus. And they go to be with Christ. But whether I am right in my speculation there or no, I will say this. When Christians die the way these people died, they die with their spiritual sight sharpened, and they have Christ in their focus. We're not dying trusting in our baptism. We're not dying trusting in our church. We're not dying trusting in our philosophy. We're dying in the sight of Christ. And then, of course, when they died in faith, they died with a right to heaven. You think of that. On earth they hadn't received their Canaan. But when they died with a rite of passage to heaven. That's the way I want to die. I mentioned Bishop Ryle a little earlier in the service. And his final address to his congregation in Stradbrook before he went to take up his bishopric in Liverpool. In his final sermon, one thing that he said about sinners, men in general, was, he said, man comes into the world crying. He lives in the world complaining, and he leaves the world disappointed. How true. He comes in crying. He lives complaining. And when he goes out into eternity, he does so disappointed. What a contrast with the Christian who dies in faith. He dies in the light. He dies with a sight of Christ. And he dies with a right of immediate access to glory, so that it is absent from the body and it is present with the Lord. Let me ask you today, how would you die if the Lord were to say, this day thy soul shall be required of thee? It was said of John Wesley's followers in the early days of Methodism, in days when they were cursed and stoned, in days when their meetings were broken up and they were the butt of every jest, in days when it took guts to be a Methodist. It was said of those early Methodists by their enemies, they die well. What a testimony. They die well. How would you die if today you were to breathe your last? How would you die? Would you die in faith? Make sure today that you can say, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. The final thing I'll say is this, that they who lived in the light of God's promise and in the light of their great prospects, who died in the same faithful assurance in which they had lived, found that God fully vindicated their faith. He was not ashamed to be called their God, and he prepared for them a city. God vindicated their faith first by a relationship. He says, I am your God. Can you think of this? Ponder it deeply. They were called by the name of their God, just as we are called by the name of our Savior. But God was called their God. God was not ashamed to be identified with them. God was not ashamed that his name would be linked with theirs. And forever afterwards, he is known as the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. His name linked with theirs. Not that they are worthy, but by sovereign grace, God not ashamed to be united to them in the closest possible union. What a joy it is to have him as our God and to have him acknowledge us as his people. Then their eternal destiny. He prepared for them a city. They lived in tents. They gave up the idea of living in a city. Remember, they came from Mesopotamia. Remember, that was the cradle of civilization. It was in Mesopotamia that great cities first were built. Ur of the Chaldees, excavated even in this century, has proved to be a great city. Abraham turned his back on the buildings of man, on the stability of man's existence and man's attainments. He gave up the city to live in a tent. He was a nomad for all the days of his life, a stranger and a pilgrim. But God built him a city. Ur of the Chaldees is just a heap of rubbish today. The cities of ancient Canaan, the places where archaeologists go to show how much they know and how much they think they know and how much they don't know. But God prepared him a city. And that city is better, heavenly, and eternal. God vindicates faith in Christ. I like the statement concerning faith, that whosoever believes in Christ will not be put to shame. The Lord will never fail to vindicate the faith that reposes in Jesus. Do you trust him for life? He'd give you life. The old devil wants you to live in doubt and fear and unbelief. But if your faith's in Christ, God will not let you down. He'll not fail to vindicate. He will acknowledge you as his child, and he'll bring you home to glory, to the city that's built four square. May God indeed enable us today to experience what they did, to live in the light of God's promise, by faith to live in the light of our prospects, to die in the same faith in which we have lived. It's always a tragedy when a man has to try to change his beliefs at the last minute, but to die in the same faith in which we have lived, and to have God vindicate that faith and welcome us home to glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Bring souls to faith in Christ and enable God's people to live by the faith of Christ. And God grant that this life that we now live in the flesh, as we live it by faith in Christ, will be a life of victory, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of power, a life of fruitfulness, a life of usefulness. And, Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep us from evil, from ever thinking of going back, compromising with the apostasy. Lord, keep us. And in the end, grant that mighty vindication of our faith, as thou dost bring us home to glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.